On our last broadcast, I began a message entitled The Bad Habit of God. And we learned that when we refuse to go on our mission, God has a bad habit in chasing after us. We learned that God would not leave you alone because of the omnipresence of God. But there are two more reasons why God won't leave you alone. So open your Bibles to Jonah chapter 1, and we'll take a look in the book.
Bread of life.
Welcome to A Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where the pastor is Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will be bringing a series of messages on the book of Jonah. So get close to your radio and listen as Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert, Sr. takes a look in the book.
That's just a big fancy word that basically means that God is in charge. That God is supreme ruler. He's over everything. See, many of us in the church today, we got a problem because our God is too small. See, basically, many church folks, they got the wrong view of God. Not so much y'all here at Bible Way, but them church folks that you know. They got the wrong view of God. They see God like a lit bell hop, like they servant. So they just rang the bell. Come here, God. I need you to get me a car. Come here, God. I need you to get me some clothes to wear. Come here, God. I need you to get me another job. Come here, God. I need you to get me another husband. We constantly call on God and look at him like he's our servant rather than we're the servant of God. That's because we got a bad view of the sovereignty of God. See, when you got the right view of the sovereignty of God, you see, like the psalmist said in Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. So you see God as the supreme ruler. You see God as the King of kings. You see God as the Lord of all. And so how can you say no to somebody who's ultimately in charge? See, we see ourselves. We set ourselves up as like the traffic cop in our life. And we look at God like he's one of the drivers out there on the interstate. And so we look at God as God start coming into our life. If we want God into our life, we just wave him on in. Come on, God. And if it's something that we kind of got a problem with, we're not sure about, slow it down now, God. I mean, you can bring it on, but I got to check this out, you know. Come on. And then if it's something that we don't like, we just say, stop that, God. Don't bring that up in him. No. So we just reject the will of God because we are in control. We controlling the flow of things in our lives. But that's not how it is. God is the big traffic cop in our life. And see, God is the one that says, stop it. That's not my will for your life. You can't bring that up in here because that's not my will for you. I don't want you to have that. I don't want you to do that. So God has the stop sign. And if it's something that God wants us to do, but God said, now you're going to have to be careful doing it now. Slow it down a little bit. You can come on, but you're going to have to take your time and kind of navigate through this thing. And so God, he kind of put the caution light out on you. And then other times, God give you the green light, and he just wave you on in. And he says, come on, this is the will of God for your life. So come on and do this particular thing. But because we done got things flipped, we don't understand the sovereignty of God. And so we think that we can decide on if God want me to do this thing, then let me see, do I want to do it? Or we can put God on hold. And we can reject God and turn our back on God. And I ain't gonna do that. And we think we can just go. But God ain't gonna leave you alone. God will come after you. Why? Because he's sovereign. Oh, I'll never forget when I was in Bible college. I was going to Southern Bible out there in Pleasant Grove, out there off Buckner and 175. And I got in my car one day, and I was driving 175. And as I was getting ready to get on 75, right there in that curve, anybody know what I'm talking about? Right there in that big curve, there was a major accident. And there was a lot of cops there. A lot of police was there. And I was scared to death. You know why I was scared to death? Because I didn't have an appropriate inspection sticker. And I said, oh, Lord, I hope they don't see me. And by the time I said that, that cop stopped doing what he was doing, and he looked at me, and he said, hey, your inspection sticker is out. Get an inspection sticker. I act like I didn't even hear him. I just ignored him. I put both hands on the steering wheel. I was driving a 1977 red Chevette, and I hit it. I said, I got to get on this expressway and get on out of his way. Boy, I got on that expressway. I thought I was gone. But that man put his helmet on. He got on his motorcycle, punked it up, and he came after me. I saw that little light. I was like, oh, who he's coming after? He got right behind me, and he pulled me over. Now, why did he get on his motorcycle and come behind me? Why did he pull me over? Because he had the authority. He had the power. In the same way, you can say, okay, I ain't gonna do what God done called me to do if you want to, and think you can turn around and go on your, but God will come after you. He'll get on his spiritual motorcycle and chase you down. I used to like watching Gunsmoke. Any Gunsmoke watches up in the house of the Lord? The thing I used to like about Gunsmoke is some folks, they would come to Dodge City and they'd mess up Miss Kelly saloon there, kind of bust out some windows and cause some ruckus there. And sometimes they even have the audacity to rob a bank right there in Dodge City. But whatever they done, you know what Matt would do? He'd get on that horse. And he would ride that horse. And he would go after them. And once Matt would get them, he would say, now listen, you can come back one or two ways. You can come back without a fight, peacefully and quietly. Or you can come back with a fight. Don't make me no difference. Without a fight or with a fight. In the same way, God, when he asks you to do something, God said, now, you're going to do it. You're going to do it either without a fight. You can come on peacefully and quietly. Or you can come on with a fight, hollering and screaming. But you're going to come one way or another. God may have to take you over some stuff. He may have to take you through some stuff. He may have to take you under some stuff. But God is going to ultimately get his way. You're going to do the will of God. God may have to push you into doing his will. He may have to pull you to do his will. God may even have to knock you down and drag you to doing his will. But you're going to do the will of God. Why is that? Because he's sovereign. Look. I got here my little dog. Now let's just say, I'm the maker of this dog. And I made this dog to say, Ruth. Is that what a dog say? Now, don't y'all looking at me kind of strange. Now, if I would have said, you know, meow, then that would have been something different here. But let's say I make this dog say rough. And this dog just decide after he's saying rough for 5 years, I ain't saying rough no more. I ain't saying rough. I've been saying rough 5 years. I ain't saying it this 6th year. Wait a minute now. Who made this dog? If I made this dog, I know what to do to make this dog say rough. I know how to get him to do whatever I want him to do. Why? Because I'm the creator of the dog. In the same way, God knows exactly how to get you to do whatever he wants you to do. Why? Because he made you. And we are like a little puppet on a string. If God wants us to go over there, God knows how to get us to going over there. If God wants us to go over there, he knows how to get us to going over there. He knows exactly what strings to pull. And it's nothing we can do about it because he's sovereign. Nobody can say, get your hand from me, because he's sovereign. Somebody said he can do what he want to do when he want to do it. He's sovereign. That's why he can't leave you alone. He can't leave you alone because of the omnipresence of God. He can't leave you alone because of the sovereignty of God. But number three, he can't leave you alone because of the love of God. That's the reason he can't leave you alone. It's because God loves you. And I don't care where you are at in your life, you can't outrun the love of God. I don't care what you done done. You can't outrun the love of God. Jonah thought that he could outrun the love of God and outlast the love of God. He thought because he done rebelled against God. Now that I done got on a boat and I'm going to Tarshish, the opposite direction. Now that I done got out of town, now that I done got out of the will of God, I'm gone. Bye-bye, God. See you later, alligator. He thought he was gone. He thought he had escaped the love of God. But how many of you know, regardless what you done, God still love you? See, you can't out-sin the love of God. God still love you. I remind of a man that God had called to preach. And this man was running from his calling. He said, I don't really want to preach. And so you know what he done? He done the opposite. He went out there and just started going to the clubs every weekend. And he just started getting just filthy drunk. I mean, just sloppy drunk every weekend. And he just started drinking himself dry somewhat. I mean, he was just constantly getting drunk. He thought, now God's going to leave me alone. Yeah, God going to leave me alone because now I'm a drunkard. But do you know he still heard the call of God? God said, now you ready to preach? He said, but God, I'm a drunkard. God says, I can use you now to win other drunkards to Christ. See, you can't outlast the love of God. And that's why God can't leave you alone, because God loves you. The hardest thing anyway for a parent to do is leave their children alone. When a lady have a baby, oh, she just so happy to have that baby. It's hard for her to put down the baby. As a matter of fact, when she show you, she really don't want you to hold the baby. She say, you see the baby? See the baby? See the baby? They don't really want you to hold that baby now. And if you start trying to, you know, reach and grab, they start, you know, they don't really want you to hold that baby. And even when they put that baby down and they go try to do something else, soon as that baby say, ah, they go right back there. They're picking up that baby. It's hard for them to leave that baby alone. And then when that child grow up and it's time for them to go on a field trip there in school, and the teacher send home a permission slip because they're going to have to stay overnight in this certain city at this certain hotel, and they need the permission. They send a permission slip 3 weeks in advance. Why is it that mama and daddy wait to that last day to fill out that permission slip? It's hard to leave that child alone. And then even when they start going through some terrible teen years, mama and daddy say, when you get 18, you out of here. Soon as you get that diploma in one hand, I'ma already have your backpack and you getting out of here. But why is it, soon as that child get 18 and the child starts saying, Mom, I want to go to college, and then they find out, ooh, I can't pay all of that for you to go to college. Why is it that mama even get two jobs to help pay for that child's education? She said she's going to leave them alone when they come 18. It's hard for a parent that really loved their child to leave that child alone. And then when that day come, where the child say, Mama, Dad, I got some news. I'm getting ready to get married, and I was coming to let you know I want to get married. That child is all happy. That child is glad. But Mama and Dad is somewhat mad. They start getting an attitude. And when that boy come back over there to the house, it's like he's an outlaw. It's like, no, he's the one thinking that he's going to marry my daughter. I ought to fix something and poison him right now. They almost go into a state of depression. Why is that? It's hard for them to leave that child alone. And even when that boy grow up to be 50 years old and go over there to mama's house and say, Mama, I need some money, some light bill money to pay my bill. All the other children say, Mama, don't give him another dime. He always coming over here, Mama. Don't give him nothing. Why come Mama go right in her purse and give him some money? Because Mama can't hardly leave him alone because of the love of that Mama. And do you know the hardest thing too for a parent to do is to whip their children? Oh, yes, it's hard. Do I have anybody that know what I'm talking about? It's hard to whoop the children. I used to hear mama and daddy say, oh, Tim, it's going to hurt me more than it hurts you. But why do mama and daddy whoop you? Because they love you. In the same way, the reason that God whip you, it's because God loves you. The Bible says, whom I love, I chasten it, and I treat you just like a child. If I don't whip you, then you're a bastard. But if I whip you, then you are my child. Listen. Listen. So in other words, Jonah should have been praising God when he saw the storm, because that was God's way of saying, I'm not finished with you. That was God's way of saying, I still love you. So rather than complaining, y'all, when we see storms in our life, we need to be praising the Lord that God done sent the storm, because God is treating us like a child and not like a bastard. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was God's way of saying, I'm not finished with you yet, Jonah. That was God's way of saying, you can turn your back on me, but I'm not going to turn my back on you. That's why God chunked the storm at Jonah. Even though Jonah had thrown his hands up on God, God had thrown his hands up on Jonah. God was still coming after Jonah because God was in love with Jonah. I don't know if I'm in your neighborhood yet. but you can turn your back on God all day long, but God will never, ever turn his back on you. You can wash your hand of God, but God won't wash his hand of you. God will, he'll send the wind. God will send the wave. God will send an earthquake. God will send whatever he needs to send in order to turn you around, because he loves you too much to let you just haul on off and go to hell. That's the love of Almighty God. And that's why God can't leave you alone, because of the love of God. As I come to a close, George Beverly Shea tells a story about him disciplining his children. He said one day he had told the children, listen, I need y'all to do this particular assignment. And when I come back, I'm getting ready to leave, but when I come back, I want it done. He left, he came back, and it wasn't done. George Beverly Shea said, you know what that means? Y'all rebelled against my will. So that means that somebody's going to have to pay the price. He said, so go in the room there, and I'll be there in just a minute. And George Beverly Shea said, oh, it was so hard for him to go in that room. It was so hard for him to go in there and whoop those kids, because he had told them over and over. He said it was so hard. But he said he went on in the room. And when he got in the room, he pulled off his belt and threw the belt on the bed. And he looked at those kids. Then he pulled off his shirt, pulled off his undershirt, and he laid down on that bed, face down. And he said, now, I need y'all to pick up the belt, and I need both of y'all to give me 10 licks apiece. The kids couldn't understand that. He said, no, 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 go on, pick up the belt. Give me 10 licks apiece. The kids, they picked up the belt, and they was whipping their daddy, and it was hard for them to whip their daddy, but they went on and whipped their daddy. And after they finished, George Beverly Shea said, I wanted y'all to learn something. First, I wanted y'all to know that your daddy loved you. But the second thing, I want you to know that whenever you rebel, somebody have to pay the price for it. That's exactly what Jesus Christ did. Because of the love of God, God could have let us alone. But because he loved us, he sent Jesus down here. The creator pulled off his clothes, and he let the creation, man, whip him. All because of love. That's what love is. That's the bad habit of God. The habit of not leaving you alone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. Help us, Lord, to understand you do really love us. You loved us so much, you gave your only begotten Son. You traded places. The Creator was whipped by the creation. You even went further than that. You even died for our sins. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Bread of life sent down.
If you would like a copy of the message that you have just heard in its entirety, please call the church office at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. That's BibleWayIrving.org. And come by and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at BibleWay Community Baptist Church. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book.
Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us. Bread, send down from gold.